Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Yes, hello and welcome. I'm Carl Nordgren, and for this fifth episode of Exploring Your Creative Genius, we're going to do something different, something quite different than what we've been doing up until now. We're all together going to go on a trip to an extraordinary destination. And the great news is, folks, you are perfectly ready to come as you are. Just as you are right now, you're perfectly prepared to come on this trip with me, and we're going to depart in just a moment. First, I want to share my email and a request for comments on how I can make this show the best show for you. My email is carl@creativepopulist.com, carl@creativepopulist.com. Please send me your comments. And then let me, before we head out on our trip, let me also thank the folks who have put together this outstanding opening to this show. Aubrey Williams wrote a great script. It's a perfect setup. And Anna Griffin's voice talent is just the right pitch. And AJ, Aaron Johnson, brought in the music. It's a guitar riff from Donovan, and he did the editing. Thank you, folks. It's an outstanding opening. The minute I heard it, I fell in love with it. And so let's get going on our trip of a lifetime. Or maybe it's a trip for your lifetime. And as you sense that this is so, please trust your sense and follow it as we leave our comfortable rooms and head out together. Pick the route that suits you, the path or the track or the trail. Mine goes down a wide wooded valley into a great expanse of forest. That's where I go to wander when I wonder. Where do you go to wander when you wonder? Because this is a wonderful place we're going, so please bring that sense of wonder with you as we go on. And as we continue on searching for this wonderful place, all of us, all together, our tracks and our trails start to come a little closer to each other. And we can now see our fellow travelers on their paths as they move through the trees who have answered the call, searching for this same wonderful destination. And we see more and more of them, and as we get closer, they start to become recognizable to us. We see folks who are enjoying their second and their third and even their fourth waves of successful achievement in their business and professional and artistic careers. We find committed community leaders and serious social justice warriors. We see every sort of entrepreneur, every sort of artist, and they seem to be wonderfully co-mingling together, don't they? And then we see more and more folks who are doing what has to be done in this economy, and that's folks who are creating their jobs by finding a bit of a job here and some tasks over there and pulling them together. Maybe sometimes it's motivated because they want to do exactly what they love. More and more folks are making their way in that fashion, and many of them are joining us on our voyage together. Many of these folks, from folks from each of these groups that we've identified, are family people. They're starting their families, some of them. Some of them have been nurturing their families. And then there's a cohort that I look more like, that's sort of a silver, gray, and white haired cohort, with many of folks with bright, bright eyes. And as we continue traveling, drawing closer still, some paths and trails begin to merge all together now, and the rumors begin about what our wonder-filled destination might be. Some folks are wondering, is it Shambhala or Shangri-La, as we refer to it in the West with its fountain of youth? Or perhaps we're headed to Arcadia, or maybe a section of the Axis Mundi. Some say Tirunanog, and I shrug my shoulders when one asks me if it could be one of those places of legend. I'm not saying it is, but it could very well, this destination could very well help you become legendary in your own glorious and grand ways. We continue through the deep green shaded woods, many paths now joining into very few. Then up ahead of us, we see a bright light indicating that we're approaching a clearing, and soon the forest opens. And as our eyes become accustomed to the bright light, we see that in the center of the clearing is our destination. It's a building. It's a large building. And it's so interesting that it's appreciated by some for its elegant modern lines, while others note its graceful classic form. Others insist it's a beauty that's timeless. And as we approach, three doors across the front face appear. Three doors appear across the front face of the building, and a moment later, up from the ground emerges a table. And on that table, we can just barely see that there's three keys. And we continue on, we approach the table, and one of you steps up to see that there's a different key designated for each of the doors. But not only that, attached to each of the keys is a scroll. One of you steps up and opens the scroll that's attached to key number one, and she turns to read it to us. And this is what she reads. Behind door number one is the formula and procedures that are proven to deliver to you and for you the full glorious success and personal satisfaction in your business or professional career that you aspire to. And oh my, yes, many of us are tempted to grab that key and unlock that door, aren't we? But before we move, a young man opens up the scroll on key number two, and he reads, "Behind door number two is the formula and the procedures that are proven to prepare you for whatever comes your way in this future of unknowable unknowns, of radical challenges, of unimaginable opportunities, so that you are best prepared to create advantage for yourself and for your family and for your community, regardless of what we find in the future." Very tempting once again, right? Boy, that sounds awfully attractive. The future is for now on, after all. But there's one more key, and another of you is ready to read it, and you unroll the scroll on key number three and read to us. "Behind door number three is the formula and procedures for the longest life you can live and the greatest joy you can experience." Gosh, what a tough choice. You yearn for each one of them, don't you? You yearn for great business success. You yearn to be prepared for the future. Of course, you'd like a long, joyful life. And as you begin to discuss with your travel companions as to what choices we're going to be making, you get that feeling again, that feeling that you had at the beginning of the journey, that feeling that helped you find your way here. And now it's telling you, you don't have to make a choice. You have the master key that unlocks all three doors, delivering on all three promises. You begin to search for it. Some of you find it in a pocket. Some of you find it on a chain around your neck. And each one of these keys is inscribed with the same message. We read them carefully. Oh, my goodness, what we're reading is intentionally growing your natural-born creative genius. Intentionally growing your natural-born creative genius. And indeed, it's a key that unlocks each and every one of these doors. And we find that all three doors are now open. And when we go through those doors, regardless of which one we go through, we find that we enter the same great hall where there is so much to take in. And we're going to learn what you can take in when we come back from this commercial break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. And let's remember, we've all discovered that we've got the key. We've got the universal key that has opened all three of these doors. We've walked in together, and we notice that the hall is a very large space, maybe not quite cavernous. It doesn't echo, but it's certainly plenty, plenty big. And there's lots to take in inside this great hall, starting with the fact that it's filling up fast. Because now we see that there are three sets of doors on each of the walls. The wall that we came through, but on each of the other three walls also have three sets of doors, portals ready for adventurers from every direction. Then we look up, and we see that spanning each of the three doors is a lintel. Ours is of green marble. Across the way, it's copper. Over to our right, it's a beautiful light gray stone, and across from that, boy, a rich, deep red wood. And we read and we find that the same words are carved or etched into each one of these lintels. Those words are the three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset. The three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset: being intentionally creatively entrepreneurial, being intentionally creatively entrepreneurial, having a bias for action, and taking multiple creative perspectives. And then the paintings and the posters and the signs and the flyers, we see that the hall is filled with them, each offering formulas and procedures and practices and strategies that fulfill the keys promises that were made to us when we were still outside, that you'll achieve your greatest success in your career, that you'll be best prepared for whatever comes your way in a future of unknowable unknowns, and that you will live your longest life most joyfully. Focusing now, you read a large poster, intentionally seeing problems as opportunities to make things better. Intentionally seeing problems as opportunities to make things better. And then a flyer floats by and you grab it out of the air to read, intentionally busting the status quo is vital. Intentionally busting the status quo is vital. And then a sign flashes, being ingenious is doing what you can with what you have where you are. And then the sign switches to being adaptive, finding a better way next time. Some of the painting on the walls is graffiti raw, and some has the gracefulness of calligraphy. And over on this wall, there's words like engineering and narrating and orchestrating and growing and nurturing and inventing and combining and serving and collaborating and teaching and learning and appreciating and refreshing. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. Painting, experimenting, designing, storytelling, synthesizing, exploring, and risking. And then, as if out of nowhere, you find that you've been given a large journal and a set of colored pencils. That's a take-home gift, because every one of you needs in your home a large journal with a set of pencils to express your creative interests and your entrepreneurial thoughts. And then chairs and lounges emerge from the floor, just as the tables emerged in front of the doors when we approached the building. And you settle in, and you begin to fill the pages with your favorite bits of what's on the walls, copying the words exactly in some cases, but also writing your own thoughts, finding relationships between orchestrating and nurturing. What's the relationship between exploring and risking? You share, you capture your thoughts, and occasionally you're visualizing a concept. And after a few minutes, I call for your attention, because I want to offer, along with the three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset, a set of basic creatively entrepreneurial behaviors. In fact, there's four of them, four creatively entrepreneurial behaviors that if you practice daily, if you practice them in the inches and the minutes, they're going to help you grow your creative capacity and develop your entrepreneurial instincts. But now you're working on a project. Now you're starting a new venture. Now you're starting a new initiative. Now bring these behaviors in a really focused fashion when you're working on that project. Here's the four creatively entrepreneurial behaviors: being generous. I've already mentioned that many times in our first four shows. Being humble. I think I brought up being humble once or twice. Being playful and being enthusiastic in your pursuit of beauty, being enthusiastic in your pursuit of beauty. Let's start with being generous. When I was an entrepreneur, I came to understand that I could not expect the marketplace to be more generous with my company than I am with the marketplace. See, the beauty about generosity is that generosity is very frequently met with generosity. When I'm generous to you, you're generous to me. When I'm generous to the market, I found as an entrepreneur, the market was generous to me. Right? I would win the market share game, for instance. I would always be generous with my employees. You can't expect your employees to be more generous with the company than the company is with employees. You want them to bring their best creative and entrepreneurial thinking. You got to make sure that they know that they're going to be generously rewarded for doing so. The place I always would start with this riff on generosity when I was in a Duke classroom, because these kids didn't have markets and they didn't have employees, was the importance of listening generously, giving your undivided attention and listening generously, listening appreciatively, right? Listening with an appreciative, generous attitude when somebody, for instance, brings you a brand new creative idea. Good things happen when you do that, when you give your undivided attention and listen generously. The forms and the structures and the models and the patterns of that idea, they become yours. You absorb those through your close, appreciative listening. And the significance of that is captured by Steve Jobs, who was, when he was asked, what is creativity? He said, creativity is connecting the dots, so make sure you have lots of dots. Well, you take on dots when you listen really, really appreciatively and really generously and intentionally to the idea that's being shared with you. That's one good thing that happens. Another good thing that happens is that it's very likely that the first things you're going to say to your friend about this idea that you've been listening to so generously, the very first thing you're going to say will be generous things, will be appreciative things. Maybe that will help the idea appreciate through your appreciation, to grow in value through your close, generous listening. The other good thing that happens is you're now standing on common ground with your friend, common ground of appreciation for this idea, so that when it is time to critique it, your thoughts will be heard more effectively by your friend. And another good thing that can happen to you is maybe you become known as the person that you want to go to share your ideas with. And isn't that great? Think of all the dots you collect when you're the person that folks want to bring their, want to talk to about their great new ideas. We're going to talk about being humble next, right? This is one that Duke students often didn't like because they didn't understand that you could be humble in your person and proud of your accomplishment. What's really relevant to me about being humble in the creative and entrepreneurial world is that when you start a new project, you're most ignorant about what that project can be all about at the very beginning, right? When you start a project, you're not very informed yet about what it is that you can accomplish here, and it takes a humility to embrace that, right? To understand that, there's really important things that you don't know about what it is that you'd like to be doing with this project. I'm going to tell you a great story about humility when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. I promised I was going to tell you a great story about being humble. We're in the middle of talking about the four creatively entrepreneurial behaviors of being generous, being humble, being playful, and being enthusiastic about beauty. The story is about the architect Sir Christopher Wren. Sir Christopher Wren, one of England's most renowned architects, was asked to submit plans for the Windsor Guildhall. The Windsor Guildhall. This was in the 1700s. Sir Christopher Wren wasn't just an architect. He was also a physicist, so he's on the cutting edge of knowledge about load management. And he understood that in this massive building, the Windsor Guildhall, this big meeting space, a conventional approach would just fill the interior with columns holding up the roof. He understood that only about half those columns were needed, again, because of his insights into how to manage load management. And so he submitted plans for only half the number of columns that the conventional plan would call for. Well, he was turned down. The status quo is that powerful, right? No. We're not going to build a building and take a risk that you might be right. Please resubmit plans, he was told, with all the columns that conventionally are required. They really wanted Sir Christopher Wren's name on this project, and he did. He must have really wanted this commission, so he resubmitted plans with all of the columns. 20 years after the Windsor Guildhall was built, he passed away. About 100 years later, the first real significant interior renovation needed to take place. And as the scaffolding is being raised and as the work people get to eye level of the top of the columns and the ceiling, they see that for every one of the columns that Sir Christopher Wren said were unnecessary, there's an inch gap. There's an inch gap between the top of the column and the ceiling. The columns that he said weren't needed weren't used. That's extraordinary. He learned something new. He integrated that new knowledge in his subsequent work. But you know what? He never did. He never bragged about it. He never stood up on the corner and said, I told you I was right. No, he, with great humility, he just understood that he was correct. He didn't brag on it. And he took the truth of this to his deathbed. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about being playful. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about beauty. But it's time for you all to head on home. And so here's a couple of tips to give you as you head back to your house. First of all, stare at the color green. Research shows, out of the University of Munich, research shows that when you stare at the color green for 30 seconds and really contemplate it, right? It's not ambient, right? Not green around you. You really need to focus on green for 30 seconds. And when you do, your creative performance increases dramatically. The research showed that your creative performance improves over a series of four very different creative exercises. Your performance improves by 25%. Right, that takes your B minus to an A plus, an increase of 25%. So stare at the color green. I stare at the color green a couple of times a day. It takes a whole minute out of my life, and it does. I get both the lift of the researched performance, but I also get reminded that I want to be creative today. Right, I want to be creative today. The researchers don't conclude as to why green is the only color that has this impact. It is the only color that has this impact. But if you look out the window wherever you are, what's the color of growth? The color of growth is green. And as you're walking back home, understand that you are engaged in another wonderful creative exercise. Research out of Stanford shows that as soon as you reach your natural stride, as soon as you've reached your natural stride, your two hemispheres of your brain are integrated more than they were before you started walking. And that's the most creative mindset you can be in, folks, is when the rational is dancing with the nonlinear, right? You want both cognitive processes working together when you engage in your best creative thinking, your best entrepreneurial behavior. So those two tips to take home with you. Thanks so very much for coming on this trip with us. I'd like to conclude with a call out for a summer camp that I'm doing over the course of the summer. We've got some sections. It's very flexible. It's online. You'll find more information about our summer camp at the Chapelboro website under the current events section. The camp is called Who I Am Becoming. It's for teenage kids. It's for teenage kids. They're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to cultivate their creative and their entrepreneurial qualities. Once again, my name is Carl Nordgren. My email is carl@creativepopulist.com. Please send your thoughts. Please send your ideas. Please help me make this a show that really serves you. Thank you so much for going on this journey with me. I hope you didn't get any mosquito bites. I came home clean. Thanks so very, very much. I look forward to talking to you again next week.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren.